MacGyver, SG-1, Chapter 3, Two Halves. As he stood looking at the almost exact mirror image of his own face, his heart pounded and he felt warm. He always prided himself on knowing things and being in control of the situation. This was his body telling him he was way out of his element now. Come on in, he offered as he stepped back and held the door open. The man walking through looked like him, but had a fresh, short haircut and carried himself as someone who had seen a lot in battle. Like he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. He wore a tan, mid-length jacket over a gray t-shirt and khaki cargo pants and black military boots. Thanks, replied Jack as he entered and started to nervously look around to survey the room before catching Carter and Daniel's familiar faces. Mac gestured to his son. This is my son, Sam. Jack reached out and shook his hand. Hey, how you doing? Good. Nice to meet you. Sam automatically responded, even though his mind raced, to make sense of what was going on. He couldn't take his eyes off him. I thought your name was Sean, Daniel asked as he looked to Carter for assurance. Hmm? Oh, it is. Sam's a nickname, the photojournalist explained with a smile. As Daniel nodded in understanding, Mac walked towards the kitchen fridge and offered drinks to his guests. Have any beer? Asked Jack with a smirk. Sam answered for his dad. Nah, Dad doesn't drink. I can barely convince him to keep diet soda in the house. Ooh, I'll take one of those, responded Carter. The other two settled on water, much to Jack's dismay. Other than the physical features, he wasn't convinced this guy could be his brother. As he handed out the last beverage, the troubleshooter led the group to the couches and chairs that circled the coffee table in front of the TV that Sam had just turned off. A moment of silence hung in the air, as each wondered who should speak first. Okay. Go. Mac sat back and waited for his visitors to tell their story. What followed was the backstory that Carter and Dr. Jackson had explained to Jack when he woke up earlier that day. As they explained the baby napping and the fate of the delivering doctor, Mac glanced over at Jack. He couldn't help but ache for what he must be going through. He flipped through the documents Daniel handed him. The guests had taken off their coats by now and placed them over the back of their seats. As Jack leaned in next to him to read what he was holding, MacGyver tried to imagine what it must be like to find out the life you have led, could have, and maybe should have, been much different. He got the better end of the surprise. He found out he now had a brother, a thought he was still trying to wrap his head around. So the good doctor was eventually caught, huh? MacGyver looked up at the blonde woman who had gotten up across from him to take back the folder. She was taking the lead on explaining everything. It suits her, he thought. Yep. Died in prison, too. As they spoke, Daniel walked around the room, checking out the various pictures, books, and mementos that filled the shelves around Mac's living room. Sam kept an eye on him and couldn't help but smirk at the archaeologist's curiosity.
Excuse me, but is that Professor Axford?
Daniel pointed at the picture on the shelf of MacGyver with the professor and his daughter Beth.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah. I was involved in a dig to find the tomb of Alexander the Great. Daniel's eyes widened, and as he adjusted his glasses, he added, I knew Axford. He was one of my college professors. Jack, Carter, and Sam watched the exchange with amusement.
Are you into archaeology, Mr. MacGyver?
Not professionally. More of a hobby. And you can just call me Mac. He gave a welcoming smile. We ended up finding a gem called the Eye of Ra. That was made by... He stopped when he saw the three give each other a concerned glance. What? What did I say? Jack was the first to respond. He typically had a knack for downplaying certain tells and could casually throw out the team's cover story. Hmm? Oh, nothing. Daniel's an archaeologist, so he's big on that stuff. MacGyver could sense that there was more that he wasn't being told. What do you do for a living, Jack? I'm a colonel in the United States Air Force. And you're all a team? Jack nodded in return. What do you guys do as a team? Deep space telemetry, Carter responded quickly. Mac and Sam smirked at each other, knowing they weren't going to get the truth. Daniel quickly changed topics. Sam, wanna show us around? The young photojournalist could sense Daniel was looking for a way off topic, and also thought it was best to give the twins time alone. Carter and Daniel felt the same. Yeah, sure. We'll be back, he assured the two as he rose from his seat and led the other SG-1 members towards the other areas of the house. Jack reached for his drink and took a sip to buy time and come up with something to say to his twin sitting next to him. He felt tense and guilty at the prospect of not liking him. Why was that? He thought of Daniel and Tilk as brothers, and they were extremely different from Jack. Heck, Tilk had a giant snake in his gut and was from an entirely different solar system, but was closer to him than most. Why were his differences from MacGyver such a potential problem for him? Maybe it was because of how similar they seemed in many other ways. More personal? He didn't know what to do, so he pressed on. So, I read you used to be in the military yourself, huh? What made you join? Oh, yeah. Well, I was young, aimless, bit of a vagabond, and in desperate need to fix the world. I didn't want to take a life, but I wanted to help, so I joined the bomb disposal unit. Didn't want to make it as a career? Oh, no. No, it's not... Well, I'm just not good at listening to rules and regulations. He's definitely your brother, Jack, came Daniel's voice from the kitchen. He hadn't gotten past the kitchen on the tour and chuckled at hearing this. Shouldn't you be in the other room? Jack playfully snapped back at the archaeologist. Daniel smirked as he left to find the others. As he did so, Jack turned his attention back to MacGyver. So, does Sam live here with you? No. He's practically here all the time. I'm thrilled, since I missed out on so much of his life growing up. This caused Jack to tilt his head with a confused look, conveying a lack of connecting the dots. Mac saw this and continued to explain. I just found out about him a few years ago. His mom died before she could tell him my name, and we only found each other by chance. Jack's eyes grew big.
Wow.
That's something. Mac caught the melancholy wash over Jack's face as he looked down at the floor. How about you? Any kids?
No.
I had a son, Charlie, but he died. Mac's heart sank as Jack swallowed hard to hold back the emotion, trying to overtake him. Instinctively, Mac reached out and put a hand on his shoulder. He was more right than he knew about Jack O'Neill. He had lost so much. I'm sorry, Jack. O'Neill nodded his head. In a weird twist, Mac thought of how he hadn't known his son in his early years, but had been gifted the experience of knowing him now, while Jack had been there for his son from the time he was born, only to lose him. They sat quiet for a few moments before Jack shifted in his seat. What were your parents like? Mac smirked. The heaviness had left the room, and comfort and common ground had been found between the two. MacGyver told stories of growing up in Minnesota and his parents. How his father and grandmother passed away in a car crash when he was young, and how close he was to his mother. How he grew up surrounded with the smell of clay and paint coming from his mother's art studio. Jack, in turn, talked about his life growing up as an only child. About his parents, how his dad and uncle were pilots and motivated him to join the military. They lost track of time after a while when Sam came from the other room.
Hey, I gotta go. Lisa's waiting for me.
He was wearing a clean, button-down blue shirt now, and his hair was full of product.
Hot date?
Asked the colonel. Sam nodded with a wide grin.
Oh, yeah.
He's been dating the same girl for a few months now. Seems like the real thing, his dad added as he proudly watched his son slip on his second shoe.
I'll catch you guys later. Don't wait up. It was nice meeting you, Jack.
You too, Sam, replied O'Neill as he exchanged a smile before the young man left through the door. You ever been married? He asked, turning his attention back to his twin. The questions were coming fast and furious now that the tension was gone. Mac tensed a little. No. A lot of relationships never got that far, and the job kept me out of town a lot, so... I had planned on marrying Sam's mom, but she was gone before I had a chance to reconnect. You are, though, right? Mac assumed. A somber look came over Jack's face as he turned away briefly. Was, but... Once we lost Charlie, he trailed off. Mac looked around for something to distract him from the delicate subject matter. Jack's eye caught sight of one of Mac's hockey jerseys hanging over a chair in the far corner. Suddenly, he perked up. You like hockey? Mac followed his eyes to the hanging jersey. Oh, yeah. Who's your team? Suddenly, they were literally like long-lost brothers and giddy as they traded hockey knowledge and debated stats. After a while, Carter and Daniel made their way back to the living room to check on the guys. Well, you two seem to be doing all right, huh? Carter asked, already knowing the answer as the two glanced up with smiles. Daniel chimed in. Yeah. Next thing you know, Jack will be inviting him up to his cabin to fish. This time it was Mac's eyes that beamed with excitement. You fish? Every chance I get. You gotta come up, it's heaven. Daniel and Carter grinned as they exchanged glances. They were happy for the two, and relieved that Jack had finally let his guard down. Mac, we were thinking about maybe picking up some food. You guys hungry yet? The archaeologist's stomach started to rumble 5 minutes ago. Yeah, sure. I guess we lost track of time. You guys like Thai? After a few minutes of debating the local options, the four settled on a Thai place a few minutes away. Let's eat there, Mac suggested before grabbing his black flight jacket on the wall hooked by the front door. The three nodded in agreement as they put their coats on and followed him out the door. As they walked down the stairs to the garage underneath the loft, the troubleshooter thought out loud, "Ooh, you know what? Let me call Sam and see if he and his girlfriend want to join us." As he started to dial, Carter responded, "I don't know, Mac. Would you want your dad interrupting your date?" From the garage came the sound of a cell phone ringing. As MacGyver opened the door, he could see Sam's cell lying on the ground near the open garage door leading to the street. Confused, he picked it up and looked out on the busy street. "What the?" Jack's voice came from behind him. Mac, what's this?" Mac turned to see Jack, Daniel, and Carter, each pulling down various photographs that were dangling by masking tape throughout the empty space.
"Look at this one."
MacGyver rushed over to them, while still gripping Sam's cell in his hand. He instantly recognized every photo. One was of a burning cab of a tractor trailer. Another, a familiar mountain called the Widowmaker. As he took in the third picture of a wardrobe mannequin with a Bowie knife in its chest, his heart sank and the air left his lungs. Oh no. Suddenly, Sam's phone rang in his hand. As he raised it to his ear, he already knew who was on the other end.
Hello, MacGyver.
Murdoch.
MacGyver SG-1 is written, edited, and narrated by Mac Jackson. Music by Brian Bozowski. Art by Jared Brown of Darkstream Studios, Ermel Mall, and Nathan Schell of Commission Credentials. Donations can be made through PayPal at macwjackson@comcast.net. Look for more on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, and Twitter at macwjackson. Special thanks to Chuck Dixon, and especially Richard Dean Anderson, and everyone who is part of the Stargate and MacGyver worlds.
They were literally